so we are going to call the meeting to order.
We're on the air.
I'm going to welcome everybody here, and in a minute we're going to have everybody introduce themselves. We will go through the agenda items first, and I'm going to ask somebody on the board to read through them for me.
I got it here.
Okay, Wes, thank you.
All right.
There we go.
On the agenda, we have 9 o'clock, call to order, roll call, and general introduction of all present. 9:05, announcements concerning public comment, meetings, recordings, lunch arrangements, and other logistics. 9:10, minutes of the February 9th, 2008 meeting and proposed corrections. 9:15, focus topics, the center. 10:15, public comment. 10:25, break. 10:35, report from the chairman. 10:45, public comment. 10:55, report from the executive director. 11:15, public comment. Old business. 11:25, budget update. 11:35, website update. 11:40, friends of the commission update. 11:45, NIS update. 11:50, NFB newsline update. 11:55, client assistance program, CAP, complaints or issues. 12 o'clock, public comment. 12:10, review of necessity of some items on the agenda. 12:20, lunch break will be prepared by and served by Nebraska Center for the Blind clients. New business, 12:50, Nebraska Equal Opportunity Commission, NEOC, breakfast with senators in March. 12:55, National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, NCSAB, meeting in Maryland. 1:05, state plan. 1:15, statistics of the staff survey. 1:20, performance and evaluation of the executive director. 1:30, staff survey review and clarity and effectiveness. 1:40, cost of employee training and employee turnover rate. 1:50, focus topics for next meeting. August 9th, 2008, Carney, new senior blind specialist report. November 22nd, 2008, Lincoln, working with employers. Plan February location and focus topic. 1:55, public comment. 2:05, final announcements. 2:10, adjourn. 2:10, tour of NCBVI, Lincoln Administrative Field Offices.
Okay, thank you, Wes. One thing I know that about lunch, getting some information from Fatosh Floyd, that the time for lunch is going to be moved up. We're going to get fed earlier than we think. So I think they wanted to serve us lunch at 11:30, and I don't think we'll have any trouble with that at all, since they're going to fix us a nice lunch. So we will go down the agenda as much as is possible, and then we will adjourn for lunch, and then we will start up again. So the times on the agenda might be a little bit skewed, so but we'll work through that.
Madam Chairperson?
Yes, Darrell.
I don't know how to tactfully say this, sir. It is an extremely stressful, busy day. Graduations, needing to be there, and then Omaha tonight for the Federation night at the baseball game. And is there any way, we have a lot on our plate here, is there any way we can do some things to move things a little quicker, like shorten the break time, maybe shorten some lunch time?
Or work through lunch.
Or so that we can be done by 2 or shortly thereafter. I mean, I don't usually mean to be a pain like this, but this is an extremely busy day.
I appreciate that, and I know this is Mother's Day weekend also. So we'll do everything we can.
Okay.
And if, you know, if there are people that want to take a break, I don't have a problem with skipping that and if it's possible to shorten the lunch to 20 minutes instead. I don't have a problem with that either.
Because we don't want to discourage public comment.
No, we will.
This is a public board meeting, so.
No, we will. Public comment time will not be shortened.
Good.
You know, maybe I can do something about shortening my report, too. But anyway, are there any other announcements that we need to deal with? Okay, so we will go around the room and introduce.
May I announce?
Yes.
A raised hand is.
Not going to tell me anything. So if you want my attention, you're going to have to. I think the best policy, since I don't know who you are, and I do know who I am, if you tell me your name instead of saying, I mean, if you want to call me Madam Chairman, this is, you know, Joe Blow, then go ahead and, but make sure that you say your name. But if you want my attention, you're going to have to get it by saying your name. But we do have a policy about public comments that there are times on the agenda that we have time for it, and we usually allow plenty enough time for anybody to make a comment. So if you would please wait for those times, and if it's something that you want to say that was three or four items before that, that's still okay. Public comment is for any comments that you have, no matter, or questions or whatever you have. But please, the other times are designated for the board to speak on things. So, but the public comment time is all yours, and please, if you have something to say, please do it.
Madam Chairman.
And I know who I am, but I don't know who you are.
I'm Becky McCullough.
Okay.
And I understood that the meeting was over at 1.
No.
No. It would be nice if it was, but.
Well,
the public is allowed to leave.
Yeah, the public can. Yeah. I mean, the board has to stay till the end.
Okay.
Sorry. Well, I can move. We adjourn now if you'd like.
Yeah, we are. So, well, now we will go around and everybody will introduce themselves, and we're going to do this a little strangely. I'm going to tell you who I am first, then we'll go to my right, and then we'll go to my left after Julie's introduced herself. I'm Nancy Oatman. I'm chairman of the Board of Commissioners.
Julie Johnson, commissioner from York.
Okay, Wes, your turn.
Wes Majerus, commissioner from Lincoln National Federation of the Blind, designee.
I'm Jimmy Rock. I'm not only the state president for the American Council of the Blind in Nebraska, that is also the agency organization for whom I represent.
Daryl Wallow from Omaha. I am one of the at-large commission members. This is my third year on the board.
I'm Kathy Stevens. I think everyone knows me. I'm administrative assistant for the commission.
Hubert Paulson, driver reader in Lincoln. I'm doing the recording this morning.
Pearl?
I'm Pearl Van Zandt, executive director of the commission from here in Lincoln.
Okay. Now I don't know where we go from there.
How about,
Okay, I'm Vivian Cockrell. I'm a trainee at the center.
I'm Jeff Poore, department resource agent for the center.
Barbara Lowe, Lincoln.
Carlos Servan, deputy director for VR Services, Lincoln.
Bob Deaton, deputy director for Independent Living Services, Lincoln.
Jeff Kreutz, the specialist in technology for Omaha, currently training in the center.
All right.
I'm Christy Brazier, and I'm a student at the center.
I'm Laurel Friesen, and I'm a client at the center.
I'm Carrie Holbert from Omaha. I'm a student at the center.
I'm Mary Davis, and I'm alternative and also at the center.
Jeff Altman, I'm the team travel instructor in the center.
I'm Sydney Crane, I'm Julie Johnson's son.
I'm Josh Floyd, director of Nebraska Center for the Blind. I'm Becky McCullough. I'm a client at the center.
I'm Donna Curry from South Sioux City, and I'm a client at the center.
I'm Mike Rains. I teach the industrial arts program at the center.
I'm Cindy Zimmer. I teach home management.
Sahar Singh, I'm the ground instructor.
I'm Blaine Dunfitt.
Okay, well, welcome everybody, and And I'm glad to see all the students there, especially since they're fixing us our lunch today.
That's why she's glad you're here.
The next item, I believe, is the minutes and proposed corrections. And Jim, would you like to comment on your corrections that you would like, or?
I don't remember exactly how I phrased it in the email, but if I remember correctly, there was, when Kathy was typing up the minutes as well as she did, there was a section in the minutes that stipulated that Daryl had nominated Wes for
Executive Secretary.
Yeah, thank you. And the minutes neglected to mention that he first nominated myself, and I respectfully declined.
Okay.
It's a minor issue, but if it's, you know, my philosophy, if we're going to do it, let's do it right.
Correction will be made.
Okay, so do we need, we just need a consensus on those things, or do we need to vote on that, does it?
Just
consensus?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that.
Move to approve minutes as corrected.
Okay. Do I need to do a roll call, or just...
I think you do a roll call to approve the minutes, but I don't think you need to do a roll call to
okay.
correct.
Okay, all right, so...
But that was the motion, to approve
them. Okay, all in favor of accepting that correction, say aye.
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 Opposed? And then you had a couple more, too, didn't you, Jim?
Nope.
No?
I didn't. I think. Oh, actually, yes, I did, too. I think that the other one that I had was the... with regard to the... telephone conference on the 7th of April. It was noted in the minutes that, I forget how it was phrased, but it was worded to the effect that the next meeting would be the first Monday in
April.
June or April, whatever it was. And while that may be true, when we disconnected the call that evening, there was no definite time established by the group that was in attendance.
Great.
And I think I emailed you something on that, didn't I, Nancy, as far as
this might
verbiage?
Be interesting.
And I think Pearl also chimed in on that, too.
Okay, as far as I know about that one is, when I first started doing those conference calls, it seemed like to me there was a consensus, although I don't remember that we've ever voted really on anything, but that there was a consensus that it would be the first Monday. And we can, you know, change the minutes to read that, but to me there was, that it was already...
This is Pearl, Madam Chairman.
Okay.
I believe that we did already incorporate those changes before posting the draft minutes to the website.
Oh, did we?
Kathy, do you think I'm right?
Not the one about the Jim being nominated executive secretary.
Right, but okay. this one about the date of the following.
So.
I believe that we did. Go ahead.
No, okay, then it's a moot point. If it's already been changed, that's fine.
Okay, well, and then there was a third thing that you, I think, my Braille note is decided because I've had it on too long. I know that's the problem. You made a comment about RTB, whether the funding would be restored to it, and that was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was to come before the Bob Deaton's comments, and that Pearl had said something to the effect that it would depend upon the law and the resources for funding. something you wanted added to the minutes? Jim?
I don't remember sending that one. Did I send that one in too?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I got to watch what I type.
Mm. Okay, so that isn't something that you want.
Go ahead and add it. I don't remember doing it, but go ahead and add it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want comments from the rest of the people. Members of the board. Because I'm a consensus person.
I feel uncomfortable adding something that we're not even sure how it was said.
I agree.
I would think we should just
drop that one.
Drop that, and if there's some issue we need to change or, you know, address at some point, we could do that.
Okay, does everybody else agree with that then?
I agree with Daryl's.
With Daryl.
I move that we approve the minutes as read with the correction.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So now I need to do a roll call. So Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Russ?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
And I concur, so the minutes are approved with those changes. I think the focus topic is next. So we'd like to, it's the focus topic today is the center. And I'm not sure exactly who's presenting.
I'm going to.
Okay, Fatosh. You, I know, without introducing yourself.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll put it in the hands of Fatosh Floyd.
I believe you received the documents that Pearl sent out.
Yes, we did.
So I'm not going to repeat a lot of the things that was written. I'm just going to highlight some things. But first, I would like to reintroduce our clients. We have Donna, Laurel, and I'm going by the Hartman's guy, so so it will be fair. Carrie, Becky, Christy, and Vivian. And our staff is Mary, who is Health Alternatives, we are calling right now, because she's going to do a lot more after JR, Jeff Poor, finishes his training. Mary is working 12 hours a week. Her schedule is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And as JR finishing his training this month, Mary graciously covered our apartments for us in the afternoons. She went at least twice a week to the apartments and worked with our clients at the apartments because JR was in training. And hopefully the 30th of this month, JR is finishing his training and Mary is going to resume her other duties. Mary also subs for everybody, either on sick or vacation. Sahar, long time our computer instructor, decided to change her career a little and became the Braille instructor. Mm-hmm. And she's been doing it since last year. Mitzi, who is our new computer instructor, had another commitment today, so she's not here, but she finished her training and started doing instructions since January, but she's still learning and in a way in training, and especially in Braille and technology. Mike Rains, our elder, I mean not elder.
That was a Freudian slip. Mike, that was a Freudian slip. I want you to know that.
Not age-wise, but he's the youngest, the oldest among the staff. he has been around 24 years, and so brings a lot to the center. Cindy, our second eldest, and has been in her capacity as a home management instructor as 16 years, yeah. We have Jeff Altman doing our travel instruction, and talked about Mitzi. And we have Jeff Poor, hopefully finishing, and our Jeff the Third, Jeff Three. We don't know what to call him because we have three Jeffs. So Jeff Cruz, and he just started. This is his second week. So that's the staff and staff trainees and the clients. Training, we have the activity is kind of picking up. We have a client starting next, not next Monday, the following Monday. We have four clients coming for the summer. One of them is
coming for full-time. We have an individual starting in July, full-time, and two in August. So the training, and we have, I think, one more staff person we need to train. So the numbers during the summertime is going to be a little bit higher. As it is said in the email, our weekly training is still Monday through Friday. From 8 to 5, we do 2 hours of management, 2 hours shop, 2 hours of travel, 1 hour braille, and 1 hour computer. And when the clients finish one area, then they double up in the other area that they need instruction. Usually it is either braille or computer, and sometimes 4 hours of travel. We have Fridays, we have individual counseling with our clients, and 2 hours of seminar, and from 12:30 to 2, vocational seminar. And then clients leave at 2. We do have, depending on the week and if we work during lunchtime or not, we work 2 to 5, and we do our staff meeting, weekly staff meeting. Clients meet with me for philosophy Wednesday lunch. It's a working lunch. Then we have an individual who is getting his doctorate degree and working as an intern, comes every week and works with our clients from 11 to 12 in self-efficacy. And I attend that meeting. And then every other week, lunchtime during Tuesday, he comes and runs a staff meeting kind of with us. And we talk about from burnout to how to be more effective with our clients. Instead of me talking about it, because you read and many of us has been at the center and some of you went through the center training, I thought it would be better if we have our clients talk about their experience and their different experiences, because everybody has an individual individualized training. So I would, again, with the apartments I'm going, so to be fair, I want Dana to talk about, because it is her first week. Dana came to test it out for a month, and the first week she decided to stay longer. And so Dana, I want Dana to talk about her secondary needs and how we are approaching that. No.
Okay. You can if you want to. But.
She's injured. She's in wheelchair, so I don't want that.
Okay, well, that would be a good idea.
I'm really glad to be here. I had been here for a three-day stay a couple of years ago and had set up times that, two different times that I was going to come back. And family things got in the way, and so I didn't quite make it then, but this time I think it was meant for me to be here now. I just marvel at how much everything that I could have allowed to keep me from coming here. I'm diabetic, and I'm on dialysis, and between Fatosh and Mary, they kind of took all those excuses right out of my hands. And they have set it up, set my dialysis times up, and they made sure that I had transportation to and from dialysis, and the staff has been wonderful at working with me. If they look at me and see that I'm not entirely myself, as Cindy did the other day, and then she said, okay, I think you need to sit down, and that, and she gave me a couple glucose tablets because my blood sugar, I think, had gone low, And so it's, the staff is definitely willing to work with you. And like I said, they just kind of blow all my excuses right out of the water. So, and I, that, you know, and even I had asked Fatosh if I could go to National Convention. And then I got to thinking, I can't go there. They're going to be gone for over a week. I have to do dialysis. Mike came to me the other day and said, oh, your dialysis is already being set up. And I just, oh, I hadn't even said anything about that. So that I really appreciate the fact that they're willing to go the extra mile to help the clients out with special needs.
Okay, the next person is Laurel, and she's been here the longest, with 1 week, because the same week two people started. And Laurel is going to talk to you about how, you know, during training and toward the end of the training or middle training, that we provide work experience.
Well, Fatosh, before we move on, because I lose focus sometimes, but I'd like to, the first young lady, I've forgotten your name already. Could you
Donna.
Tell me?
Donna.
Donna. You know, you sound to me like you're really happy. I'd like to just take these each individually, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And I don't know how my board feels, but that's just how I'm going to do it. see what a tyrant I am.
That's why she's chair.
You sound like you're very happy to be at the commission now, and you know, like first you were finding excuses, but you seem really happy with being there and learning and stuff. I'm assuming that's true, right?
Yes, it is.
That's a wonderful thing, and I that's one of the things I believe the commission does so well is to accommodate the individual person with the health needs and the, you know, other needs too that they need, whether it's learning a philosophy or maybe having psychiatric help. Sometimes I know that people, you know, need that kind of thing to start believing in themselves again. So I'm just really, I just wanted to tell you that I was really thrilled that you're really happy to be here and making all those adjustments, because having to do all those extra things that you have to do, it does make it harder. But I'm glad you're here to try.
Thank you.
Okay, Fatosh, back to you, unless anybody else has questions.
I just concur. That's great. That's a good comment.
Okay. Is it okay if I go?
Yes, please. Sorry.
No, that's okay. But, I mean, that's really good, because this needs to be interaction and so between you and us. So.
Okay.
The next person is Laurel. And she's going to talk about her experience and her actual work experience that she's doing right now.
Okay. I'd have to say my experience at the center has been good but rocky and stressful at times. But through it all, I think I've blossomed in a lot of ways. Now, volunteering at corrections, I just love it. It's the best job anybody could dream of having.
What are you doing there?
I am doing the switchboard, and thoroughly enjoy doing that.
All right, good for you.
And what was your degree in Laurel, and what are what do you want to do?
Okay. I currently have my certificate for microcomputer office technology. And certificate in employability skills. And what I want to do in the future is work either in medical records as a secretary and have my own voice studio.
Wow.
Voice studio.
What would you do with, I'm curious about the voice studio thing. What would you use that for? As for
To teach voice lessons, which I promised Ms. Fatosh that I would teach her first.
Well, what you do is you charge her double for all the aggravation.
That is a challenge.
She gets free.
When you say voice lesson, you mean like in articulating or getting rid of an accent or type thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Vocal music.
Now, I'm not putting anybody down. I mean,
we have to clarify, you know.
So, you know, really? I'm not putting vocal anybody music. Down. I'm just saying, is that the idea, or is it more the idea of, when I think of voice, I think of singing, maybe?
More singing and more ear training and vocal music.
Oh, wow. Vocal music. That's wonderful. And I was curious about your going into medical transcription. That happened to be the field that I was in, and found it very rewarding and frustrating and all the things, and very interesting. Most times was very interesting. You know, typing up 15 chest x-rays in a row, they're all normal. Not that I want anybody to be sick, but still, it's boring to do that. But then you run across one that you think, wow, you know, I'm learning things that I never knew before because of the patient's problems and what they're going to do to help that patient. So it can be a very rewarding type job. And the thing you'll find is that the doctor, whoever is, he's never late in dictating it. But even if he hasn't dictated it, you know, you need to have it typed up, even though he hasn't dictated it yet. So these are a wonderful thing, but it's a very rewarding job, and I'm glad that you have the job at the correctional center. Is that what you said?
Yes.
That's terrific. I like the idea that you're getting out there in the public and doing volunteer work. That's wonderful.
So obviously then you're musically inclined. Do you play any instruments, or piano, guitar, accordion, bagpipe?
Well, my instrument is inside, is with me. So
oh, there you go.
I carry it everywhere.
This is Daryl Walla. You know me, and I'll kind of put you on the spot here. I don't want to mean to embarrass you, but you know, I remember when I first met you. You seemed so, you know, quiet, and now you're right. You've really, you know, like you said, you've really blossomed by going through the center. You talked about the stressful times. What have you found to be, you know, what have been the most stressful things, and how have you worked through that? The most stressful things about, like, you know, going through the center, and, you know, some of your challenges, and, you know, how did you, you know, get through that?
Well, I would say the numerous times of getting lost on travel. But now being able to do problem solving and figure it out. And I want to say thank you to Jeff for all the times that he's got me out of strange predicaments.
That's great.
Jeff, take a bow.
Good answer. That's great.
All right.
Is it okay to go on?
Yes.
Okay. The next person is going to be Christy. Christy is going to talk to you about. She started last year, September, and the timing was wrong. And she stopped, and she started back again with vengeance in January. She is doing great. She is going to share with you, you know, how it was that the timing might be wrong to start the center. And also, we are working on with her children. She has three kids, and getting ready for the summer because the kids are going to be out of school and be more with her. She, at first, until 2 weeks ago, she was transporting, coming from another town every day. 2 weeks ago, she decided to stay at the apartments full time give you them a chance and also work with the kids and see how that will work. So, Christy?
When I started in August or September, I'd only went from then to the very end of September, and honestly, mentally, there was just way too much on my plate, because last April I was in a vehicle accident, and so I got out of the rehab in July, and so I thought I was ready to go, and because I knew the center could help, because I was not born blind, and so yeah, to get all the techniques that the center has to offer, I thought, oh, I'm ready to go, and yeah, it was just way too much, so I dropped out, and I stopped for a good 3 months, and then I started back up in January, and I guess the biggest thing is knowing that, yes, the staff understands that it's difficult, but they also help to help you in areas that you might need help, because, yeah, it was just too much for me at the time, and yeah, now they're definitely, they tell me what counselors to go to and stuff like that. That way it helps me, and so I got an apartment and everything, and I'm really happy. I can allow my kids to come up, and thankfully, if they want to stay, then I can get them in daycare and all. But right now, they're in a good place. And so, but when they come up to visit, there's plenty of room for them to visit me. And so, but I guess the biggest thing is the center taking the understanding and the patience to help me go over the hump that I was in.
Christy, you said that you started and you were stopped. I really admire people that don't let, you know, quote-unquote failure, which there really isn't failure, but I mean, you know, something interfere and then you absolutely stop and don't ever come back. I admire people that have the gumption to say, okay, you know, it didn't work the first time, but I'm going to try this again. Did the center have a lot of influence on you being able to come back the second time? Or was it more that, okay, now that I'm really settled in my life, I can come back and do it? Was it more on your part?
A lot of it was on my part because, I didn't, because I have, there's a house out in front that I have, and I could be a hermit and stay there and not worry about learning to read, not learning to learn about the computer or travel or anything else. I could be dependent on everybody else. And yeah, I just, as my dad is, he doesn't have friends. He's a big homebody person. It's like, no, I'm not going that way. And so it was really on me, because it's like, no, I guess maybe do something with myself. I have 3 kids, so maybe if, and I guess that's the biggest thing, is showing my kids that, yes, I went through a big incident, but I can overcome what was dosed to me.
Yeah, you're being a really good role model for your children. That's very commendable. And, you know, we all know this, the kind of intensive training you take at the center is not—it's not easy. But if it was easy, you probably wouldn't have to go there. It's not easy, but the techniques you learn are tremendous. And I admire you for coming back to the center and letting them help you through this. That's wonderful. Very much to be commended.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions,
Christy?
I started out in sixth grade in orchestra, and then my sophomore year we moved to a different town, and yeah, there was not orchestra, there was only band, so I learned how to play the bass, contra, and alto clarinet. The senior year, There was a spot in the jazz band, so I taught myself how to play the alto sax. I just bought a set of bagpipes to learn how to play them.
Oh. There you go, Jim.
There you go. My uncle would love that.
Oh, awesome.
And she's the only one that plays on piano.
Wow.
Well, I do. I do want you to know I play a musical instrument, too. It's called the radio.
I play that one, too.
Yeah.
That's terrific. That I'm glad is. You do that. You're obviously very musically talented to be able to do that. That's terrific.
Yeah, I went to college for a little bit for that.
Yeah, you and Laura are going to business together.
There you go.
Yeah, sounds like a partnership to me.
Yeah, or a catastrophe.
Okay, the next person is going to be Becky. Becky is our one of our senior clients, started the same week as Laura started. So she came from another country, I was going to say.
Probably Iowa.
Another state. Virginia.
That's why I said Iowa.
She's going to talk to you about comparing their services and our services.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had lived in Charlottesville, Virginia for 30 years after graduating from the Overbrook School for the Blind in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I went to Richmond first in 75, and then I got a couple jobs. One was working at the Monticello Area Community Action Agency, answering the telephone and typing messages. Well, that was when they had the seed grant. So I could only work for them for about a year. And I really liked that company, even though they didn't pay much. They were nice to work for, and it was before we had the computers. So I brought my portable typewriter. Then after that, I left the company. I had to leave because the CETA grant was up, and the commission was paying me really. But I left the company. I had to, my time with the company was up, and then after that, I tried the dark room, but I was too slow with the film, so it was a couple weeks trial. Then after that, I didn't work for a while, and in 81, I went to work for the Virginia Industries for the Blind. Well, before 81, I went to Richmond, but I'll get to Richmond after. 81, I went to work for the Virginia Industries for the Blind, which is a sheltered workshop where they had us. We had to pack beds. We had to renovate army beds, make beds for the jails, correction agencies, mental hospitals, and army bases in University of Virginia College. And then after that, they did away with the public mattresses because we were making locals, public for us, for people to sleep on. You could make your own. And then I left the industries in 2006. Had to think a minute. Okay, the Richmond Center, I went to the Center for the Blind in Richmond, and they taught the regular classes like typing, mobility, cooking, mobility, home management, and computer. I didn't get very far with them in computer. All I knew how to do was turn it on and off and type. I didn't seem to work well with them for some reason. But I came to the Nebraska Center in September of 07. I've been here since, and they've been really good to me. I've learned some things in cooking and how to bake. Now I'm learning the pack mate, which disrupted our meeting this morning, and I do apologize. Because I'm learning how to reset that, and so I had to go in the bathroom and shut the sound off. Well, okay, in Richmond, they didn't do the sleep shades. They did a blindfold in mobility, and they put something over my face the last time I was there in 05. It's either 05 or 04, I'm not really sure. I think it was 04. I went there and I stayed there for about 8 weeks, but I didn't really accomplish anything. I mean, I went back to work to the same job at the industries. Finally, I retired from the industries in 06, and I had heard about this center out here, but that was another story. That was through some friends I'd heard about it, and so I decided to come out here, and it's helped me. And I don't know what else to say.
Okay, great.
This is Daryl Walla, and I had a couple comments and questions. This kind of stuff, even with my busy schedule, I could just sit here and listen to this till 5 o'clock. This is awesome. I mean, this is so neat to hear these stories. A couple questions for you. How did you end up in Nebraska? I know maybe it's a long story, but I'd just be curious. You know, how did you end up here? Did you have to argue with your state to get here? And secondly, are you planning on going back to Virginia or staying here?
Number one, it had to do with what they call boyfriend.
Yes. Okay, well, okay.
That didn't work out. But
okay.
I might as well tell the truth.
That's all right.
But number two, I would like to stay here.
Cool.
I just don't like the winter. The Nebraskans don't either, so. I made more friends out here, mm-hmm. even though some of them have yelled at me about my little peeking thing. I know they mean well, and I love them dearly. Even if they yell at me, I love all of them. I love them dearly. They're like family to me. I'd like to keep their friendships when I leave.
Well, when you learn about the pack, mate, I've been working with it for 2 years, and it still goes psycho on me in the middle.
I know.
I have to reset it. So when you learn the ins and outs, you'll have to.
I think Fatosh thought I was playing. And I was so embarrassed. I went in the bathroom. I was trying to set the thing.
That's all right.
That's fine. I mean, you know, all of us up here are users of technology, and we know how they can go. And when you need them the most, they don't work.
Yeah, and the alarm was going off for my 9 o'clock get up on the weekend.
Right. Well, I tell you, this is early for a Saturday.
Oh, my.
Although we have all of our equipment, we also can make it silent, too.
Yeah, I'm still learning that.
But then there are other people.
I just had one more little thing. I heard you say that when you left Virginia, you had retired from the job that you had there. Are you planning on going back to work, or are you permanently retired now?
Oh, no, I'd like to go back to work, but not in that workshop.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah. You sound like a very intelligent lady, and I'm sure that you can do whatever it is you set your mind to.
Thank you.
You know, just forge ahead. That's all I can tell you. And yes, Fatosh, we're ready now.
Okay. We have our Vivian is going to talk. Vivian is finishing next month. So unlike the diabetes that we frequently work with our clients, Vivian is going to talk about her secondary disability. That, you know, we kind of rarely really work with. And so, Vivian?
Yes, I'm Vivian Cockrell. I started the first part of November of last year. And I was going along for a little while there. And things just weren't falling into place like so many times they do for other people. And so some of the staff members were concerned and thought, well, maybe I had to go to a doctor and have my blood test and stuff, and so we did that. And fortunately, they were very helpful in helping me find a good doctor, and
and getting to and from the doctor also. And so they helped me get over to the doctor and got my blood tests and so forth. And then they were able to find out that I had, that they could come up finally with a solution, what it was. Okay, it was oculopharyngeal muscular dystrophy. My eye specialist a couple years ago had tested me and assumed this could be the problem, but he didn't say too much about it. But he didn't say it's possible that I had it, and so we checked that thoroughly, and yes, that was what I had. I had muscular dystrophy. So they helped me get to the center. They wanted me to take physical therapy, speech therapy, and occupational therapy. And so the center was so helpful in helping me do that. And you know, sometimes we think it's intense there, but you know, the people just talk you through it, and I just enjoy it so much. And the people are always ready to give you a hand if you need it, and vice versa. And we all kind of work it out together for things, and that's what most I like about that. But you can turn to your neighbor if you need some assistance with this or that, and several times that's how it happened with me, both to and from. So I appreciate everything you guys have done for me.
Any questions, comments, or video?
Commissioners, anything? Well, I think it's commendable that, you know, that you're able to work through your health problems and so forth, and that the commission is, you know, there to help you, because in many cases it seems like to me we have clients at the commission that have more than one problem that's, you know, keeping them from leading a normal life. And if we can get all the people to lead a normal life and do the things that they need to do, it's wonderful, and I'm glad that they were there for you to help you out. Was there somebody else that wanted to make?
I just had a question. Did the muscular dystrophy then cause the blindness, or?
No, I'm not totally. I'm almost blind. I was declared blind a few weeks ago. I can have a little bit of sight, but it is also due to my muscular dystrophy, this certain specific kind. It's hereditary that I have ptosis, which is lowering of the eyelids, and the lower they go, the less vision I have.
Okay.
And so we traced it back to my mother and my sister and then myself, and they're both deceased already because of it. I've learned a lot more about it, and I enjoyed my one therapist. She went out of her way to find out and getting on the internet and finding out all the information she could about my specific kind of muscular dystrophy, which was very rare, they said, but it is most prevalent and is found, the most concentrated area that has it is in, I think, Quebec. It's in Canada, which is really kind of strange, but I didn't originally come from Canada. But
that's interesting.
Like, we can trace, you know, things back to originally probably maybe where it was, probably maybe originally overseas. And that's where they have a lot of problems with muscular dystrophy.
Okay.
So it's not just our country, but you hear of it more and more. Because I wasn't much aware of it, and then one of my friends' boyfriends had it, and he, you know, he was growing up, but he was having problems. But I had problems for about a year, following that every month to the month, mm-hmm. on the week probably, and that wasn't right. And I knew my son's one friend, she said, we think you ought to go to the doctor and be checked out. And I said, oh, well, I'll just let it go for a while, you know. And I just did. And to the center, I was able to get back on track and get a diagnosis and get it treated. And I mean, there's nothing specifically you can take for it. But there are certain things we need to watch out for, like oculo means with the eyes. And that's why I have the eye problems. And, okay, pharyngeal makes pharynx to do with swallowing problems, which I have. I have to swallow, like, most normally you guys all swallow, like, once. And I have to take small bites and, like, swallow two and three times each time so I don't choke.
And what did they teach?
And so,
Vivian?
I have been taught, like, the Heimlich maneuver to, so my physical therapist and speech therapist got together and said, well, this would be a good thing for you to know. And in case anything happened like this and you were alone, so she taught me how to do the hind leg maneuver to myself, which I had never even heard of, which was neat, I thought.
Wow.
But it's something I can do to help myself.
Thank you, Vivian. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Nope.
Okay. Our last person is going to talk is Jeff Tour. He is going to finish his training at the end of the month, and he is going to talk to you about the staff perspective in going through the center training as a staff training. Jeff?
All right. Hi, I don't talk very loud, so hopefully y'all can hear me. Mm-hmm. I'm JR, or Jeff, or Rusty. Got like three or four different names, but I'm the new apartment resource aide. I think the biggest thing I've learned from training is how important attitude is and how capable blind people are. I think when I first started, I wasn't really sure what blind people can do, and I know I was probably pretty biased and thought blind people probably weren't able to do a whole lot. And as I've gone through training, initially, you know, I struggled through, like, you know, like cooking and travel and stuff like that. But somewhere along the line, it just clicked and things just started to get easier. And that's when I really learned, like, it really was about attitude. And I guess as things got easier, that's how I also learned how capable, you know, blind people are too. I've had a really good time. I really enjoyed training, getting to know the clients. We've had a lot of fun together. Vivian here, she's my cooking partner. we struggled a lot early on, but we've also learned a lot together. Same with Christy. Me and Christy, we got lost together a couple times, but we worked together to get out of those situations. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I think attitude's really important, and I really believe that blind people are very capable. I really look forward to working with the clients. I really look forward to taking them out in the community. I think there's a lot of different things we can do. I mean, I think the opportunities are, you know, endless. So I thank all the staff for helping me, and as you can see, I'm not really into, like, talking in front of people, but but yeah, I'm working on that too, so.
We're all friends.
Oh, yeah.
Here. Singing for me, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we did karaoke one time too, so. So, yeah.
I got lost with you too, JR.
Yeah, Becky, we've had some good experiences. So.
I think that's probably the biggest thing is you know, when things go easy, you get stuck in a rut, but when you have a problem and you're able to solve it, I think that's the biggest thing in the world. Don't panic, just, you know, concentrating on solving the problem, whatever it is, if it's cooking or mobility or whatever it is. And
this is Jamal. By the way, not everybody gets lost on travel.
That's early on.
But if they do, Jeff Altman solves the problem. I've heard that several times.
Yeah, he's taught the problem-solving skills to get out of the situation. So,
and
yeah,
that's funny. I was going to make the comment, JR, we can all in this room relate to what you're saying.
Exactly. I would venture to say there isn't a blind person that hasn't been lost someplace at one time or another, and it's the solving and getting out of it is the key thing.
And there hasn't been a sighted person that hasn't been lost.
This is true.
Walking, driving, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it happens to everybody, and I'm a firm believer that everybody in this world is put here to help everybody else, and then there's time you have to take that back that you need help in whatever it is you're doing, and as long as that balances out and you're not always the one getting the help, that's the important thing to learn. So, thank you, JR.
Yeah, you're welcome. Nice to meet y'all. And I'd like to say hi to Julie. I met her before and Wes on the way down to. Nice to see you again. So.
Are there any questions for JR? Other questions?
I could ask a philosophical question, and I think I will.
Oh, Lord.
If you hadn't gone through this kind of training so many weeks, months, what have you, if you had had just some instruction on how to work with a blind person but not actually doing it, not actually wearing the sleep shades, how effective would you have been as a department aide or resource aide if you hadn't had this kind of training?
I wouldn't have been very effective because the only thing I would have been able to concentrate on is just teaching them the skills. I think the most important part is them understanding the attitude part and building belief in themselves and realizing how capable, you know, they can be. I don't think you can do that without the blindfold. I think you have to go through the experiences, you have to struggle a little, and then, like I said, eventually it just clicks somehow, and then once it clicks, you just realize you're like, you know, I can basically do whatever I want to do. You know, I may just do it in a different way, but I can basically do whatever I want to do. You know, I may have to practice a little bit, but so I definitely, yeah, I think you have to go through the training, and I think you have to, like I was talking to the new Jeff. he just started training, and I was trying to kind of talk to him about some of the struggles I first went through, and I almost kind of forgot. I really, and it's kind of weird, because I never thought, like, when I first started, I'd ever be like that. I couldn't really talk to him about like what the struggles were like, because it's almost like it's a totally different world now. It's kind of like, you know, sure, there's some, you know, situations where, you know, you get in trouble and you need some help and stuff like that, but for the most part, you can do whatever. Yes. Yeah, so.
I'm gonna open up a can of worms, and people know that I'm not one to shy away from controversy. I want to, and Jeff, you, JR, you answer this, and Jeff, maybe you chime in, and whoever else wants to chime in too, that's fine. When you folks first started, came down to the center, what have you, when you were handed the pair of sleep shades and said, here, use this, what initially was your reaction to that concept, and how have you dealt with it? And whoever wants to answer it, that's fine. It's kind of an open-ended question to whoever wants to field it.
The thing is, it never happens like that.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is that all the clients in this room, except Christy, because she doesn't need sleep shades, but all of them in this room had sleep shade training before they
okay.
came to the set.
Okay, so, all right.
So they are aware of the sleep shade, they're aware, and they got training in the field.
Okay.
Especially most of them went through group training in the field.
Okay.
I didn't have much.
Yeah, but your circumstances were different.
Yeah.
The reason I don't have sleep shades is because all I see is black. So.
Okay.
I don't think they pay very much attention to
that. Yeah, so you can't peek, right.
That's right, yeah.
This is Cindy Zimmer. Years ago when I started,
I was handed those sleep shades on my first day on the job, and that has changed now, and I don't know if you realize that or not, anybody, but when I first started, that's what happened. My first day on the job, I was given the sleep shades. I didn't know training involved sleep shade training at the time. I knew I was going to do training, but I didn't know or understand that. Now that's different. When people come through on a tour as an interviewee, they're given that opportunity to be under the sleep shades, and they work with Jeff, and so they're kind of introduced to that. And I do think that's good. I think that helps them understand, you know, is this something that I could do? Is this something that is going to work for me? And a lot of times we realize during that interview that, no, they're too apprehensive. They make comments or make statements that we say, you know, this isn't a person we should probably consider.
This is Jeff Altman. I can speak to this, too, from having been through both types of training in my life. I went through a program, a conventionally based program that emphasized the use of vision, remaining vision. There was some sleep shade training, but that was only done to represent night travel because I had RP. And I finished that training, and what was taking place in my life was that every time my vision changed, which was averaging probably about every 3 years, I had to go through a lot of adaptation to catch up and get further training to bring myself up to the level where I could function again. I also, any time I went into a situation where my vision wasn't working as well for me as it would in other circumstances, you know, for example, if I went from being out on a bright sunlit day into a dark building, my vision would shut down. And because I'd been taught, well, you don't need to carry a cane all the time, I'd come into those buildings and I'd have to stand for 15, 20 minutes while my eyes adjusted. And then kind of stagger around because I still wasn't that sure about what was taking place. When I came here in 1988 and went through the training that led to my being an instructor, I was pretty uncomfortable with the idea of sleep shades. And for about a month and a half, I argued with people about it. Mm-hmm. But then, as Jeff Poor was saying, something started to click. And I've never had to look back. The quality of life I've had as a result of going through that sleep shade training is tremendously better than what I had prior to that. And it's not simply because I've lost more vision. Even if my vision had been stable, the ability to go into environments where my vision doesn't work would have been a massive improvement over what I was dealing with before.
I just want one last real comment. I know we need to probably move on, but I just, Jeff the apartment guy, that's what I'll call him. I know that you couldn't have anticipated that question that I asked, and I really was very impressed with your answer, and I thought you were very articulate. So you obviously have bought into this philosophy and feel like it's a good way to work with clients and so forth, and just the way you articulated it, I really commend you on that, and I think you have pretty good speaking skills.
Oh, thank you.
I do too. I was really impressed, because it is, it's a foreign thing to people to do that kind of thing. But, getting used to the idea that that's what the training is going to be about, and making the employee that we might be hiring aware of that, I think that's an excellent idea, because some people just plain are not going to be a fit, and some people are going to be an excellent fit. And you would find that in any business, doing those kinds of interviews, you would find that if they were going to be whatever they were going to do on the job, that some people just won't fit into our company. And I think that's what it is like at our commission, too, that some people just aren't going to fit. And we need the very best and the people that are going to buy into the philosophy that we have. So thank you. Julie, did you have a question?
I do. Okay. Well, two, real short. For Jeff Poor, Did you know what you were in for, I guess, when you started the process of, you know, when you attended the interview and that? Did you really know what you were in for? And then my second question, just real quick, is what was the biggest support to you to help you through the difficult times when you were going through staff training? What kept you going?
Okay. No, I don't think I really knew exactly. I don't think you can really know until you actually go through it. I mean, they did tell me at their interview, you know, and so I had my own idea why, you know, I was wearing the shades, which was totally different from the real reason. Mm-hmm. So, no, I didn't totally know. And then the staff has been really helpful. Clients, I mean, you learn from clients, you learn from the staff. You learn from your own experience. Definitely the staff. I mean, the staff seems to get along really well, and there's a lot of experience. They've always, you know, been supportive and helpful. And before I was talking about struggling, I guess the way to say it is, like, initially when I first started traveling, I could barely find the bus stop, right, which is, like, right behind, you know, right, mm-hmm, behind the building. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, I walked from, like, 33rd Street to 48 with blindfolds on. So, I mean, would I ever have thought that before? No, I never would have. You know, I would have never even attempted it. So, I mean, it's kind of like you just go through the process, and once you know, once it starts clicking, you're just like, you know, why can't I do this? Why can't I try this? You know, there's nothing stopping me, you know. So, I mean, I think you totally have to go through the process. So.
Good. Some staff trainees never get to the point where it clicks. And so I was, you know, and it doesn't work. So I was just wondering if there was really something that pushed you over the hump or, you know, got you to that.
I think when you start to, or before it starts to click, you got to really think about where you came from. And it might only be like small steps, like finding the bus stop. Then it was like, you know, finding the bus stop, getting on the bus. Then it was finding the bus stop, getting on the bus, going to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, it's like, and each time you do it, you start getting better and better. And then eventually you're just like, you know, this is simple. Why can't I go out to, you know, Walmart or somewhere mm-hmm. or wherever else, you know? So I think you got to think about all the little steps and think about where you came from and realize how much, you know, even though it's small steps, eventually it's going to get, you know, it's going to start coming quicker and it's going to start coming faster and it's going to be bigger steps. So that's how I looked at it. So, yeah, that's what helped me. So. Welcome. Thanks.
Okay, I don't think we have any more questions for Josh.
Yes, and this is the end of our presentation. If you have any more questions, we'll be more than glad to answer.
Okay, are there more questions from the board?
I just wanted to clarify something that Cindy had said. So you're saying back when you started, this is Wes Medeiros, by the way, you're saying that in your interview process that you were not given the opportunity to use shades, but now they do during the interview? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was interviewed and went through the interview process, there might have been an indication of shades, but of course I didn't know what they were. Or I just kind of conferred with Mike over here. Were you given an opportunity? And he said no, he wasn't either. We don't remember that. And if they talked about the shades, which Mike thought they did, but we didn't understand what they were talking about.
We actually started 9 years ago, right?
Yes.
To do the interview. And actually, the interview process itself was, I mean, we did not have situational questions. Now, most of our questions are situational. And when we call people to set the interviews, we tell them, you know, that this is what's going to happen. And usually our interview probably takes 2-2.5 hours. The interview plus the center tour plus working with Jeff on the sleep shades. So it is really totally different than what we used to.
Okay. This is Pearl. Okay. I'd like to comment, just to clarify. The interview itself, we don't use the sleep shades. Then following the interview, then the individual goes, as Fatosh said, and tours the center, then uses sleep shades. And, of course, in the tour, you're meeting the clients that are using sleep shades, and then you use the sleep shades during the kind of mini lesson with Jeff Altman. So just to clarify, it's not the interview itself, but rather a period of time where you're introduced to the king, you're given some basic travel instruction, and like that.
Okay. Sandy, I just have a question. This is the chairman of the board. I tell everybody else to introduce themselves, and I don't do it. I was interested, you know, you said that you basically came in to start training and you were handed the shade. Did that really intimidate you to the point where I realize what they do now is better? It sounds much better to me, too. But how much did it intimidate you? And did you think about, oh my gosh, what am I getting myself into? Can I really do this? Or
no, it didn't. I was excited and wanted to learn. I thought it was neat to learn new things. So I was up for the challenge. So No, it didn't intimidate me.
Okay, that's good.
I think the difference is that I see, you know, because I've been around for the old way and the new way, is that we as staff eliminated a lot of staff that we hired that didn't work out. I mean, the people made the decision, made the choice knowingly rather than, I mean, it worked with Cindy and Mike, but didn't work with several others. So.
Okay.
This is Jeff Altman. When we're doing this process, I'm very careful to explain to people before we start moving around with the sleep shade what the purpose of this experience is, and that this is not what it's like to be blind. This is more a matter of just getting a sense of what the training itself will be like. If the person is going to be okay with having that particular experience.
Right. I think that's really important because, I mean, forever I get the comments, you know, well, if I close my eyes, I couldn't do this. And I try to very patiently tell them, yes, but you have to realize that I've been doing it as a blind person for a very long time and have developed techniques that work for me to cook or walk across the room or across the street or whatever the thing may be. You know, people just automatically assume that that's what it's like, and I think that's a very good point. Fatosh, do you have anything more that you wanted to?
No, but if you don't have anything, I'll ask the staff and the clients leave to get ready for the food, and we're going to serve at 11:30. Okay. If you would like, we have sub sandwiches, fruit, vegetable, and brownies. If you would like to keep on working, we will be more than glad to serve.
Commissioners, is that what you would like to do?
Just keep working.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds good.
I normally wouldn't be that anal about this.
It's
kind of a busy day.
Yeah, I don't think it is anything to your capabilities, I think, saving time.
Well, that's exactly right.
We got a baseball game at 2 o'clock. So.
Well,
okay, I just have one thing. We have public comment next,
sure.
And would you just stick around a little bit in case some of the other people that are here, and I'm not sure exactly, but if anybody else in the public has any comments for the students?
I do.
Okay, Bob?
Yeah, Bob Deaton. Actually, this is a more general comment. I wanted to speak as someone who, when I needed training, back in 1984, I did shop around. At that time, I had just resigned from my job in Minnesota, and I had moved back to Wisconsin, where I grew up. And I did look at a number of different states and a number of different programs. And I just wanted to say that at that time, and I came to Nebraska because blind people I knew recommended the program as being outstanding. And while there are many training programs in the country, I think there are some things that really make this program, the Orientation Center, the Nebraska Center for the Blind, unique, along with a few other training centers in the country. And that is, while many state programs, training programs, focus on the alternative skills, they don't go beyond that. You know, I think for most, for many programs, the measure of success is whether or not people have fundamental skills of blindness when they leave. You know, the team travel, the braille, the activities of daily living. And I think that's fine. You know, those are definitely skills you have to have if you're going to move on and achieve any kind of success. But what makes the this program different is that we go beyond that. You know, the measure of success, I think, for the training program here, is not only do we teach the skills, we also expect that when people finish, they will have a set of problem-solving skills that that they didn't have before they came, as far as using the alternative skills in the type of situations they find themselves in every day and the situations that they have to deal with as blind people. That is not something that other programs do, or at least they don't create a situation with that likely to happen because of the structured discovery approach. That's the advantage there. The other thing that we also expect to happen when people come out of the program is that they will have a positive understanding of blindness. And that comes from the seminars that people participate in. You know, there's a big focus on what you think you know about blindness and what society tells us about who we are. You know, there's a lot of time that is spent on that so that we can work, so that we work through that. And I think by the time you are able to leave the program, you have a set of skills, alternative skills of blindness, you have a set of problem-solving skills that are going to serve you for the rest of your life, and you have a more positive understanding about blindness and what you're able to achieve as a blind person than you had before. And I think that is what makes our program outstanding. And that's, and I just wanted to make that comment. I just feel so so grateful, and I am so appreciative that I discovered Nebraska at the time I did. You know, I think my life would have been very different had I not come.
Yeah. We're really glad that you discovered Nebraska, yes, too, because you're a very great asset to the commission. And I happen to agree, too, and I always like hearing those things, and I think the majority, or all of us on the board, I should say, feel that same way, too, that we wouldn't be involved in being on the board if we didn't care about the commission and know what good things, and I just love hearing these stories from these kids, and the evaluation things that Fatosh sends to us are so interesting to me. I just, it's just heartwarming. I mean, it just makes me feel good for the rest of the day reading that kind of stuff. It really does. Are there any other comments from the public? Speak now.
Madam Chairman, this is Donna Curry. I just wanted to share with you, with everybody, the first time that I came down to the center with to just, you know, go through it and that, I was with John Schmidt. Well, I wanted my sisters to come with me and to see it, and because they both had full sight. And on our way home, I asked, well, what do you guys think of the center? And they both said, we don't like it. I said, why not? I mean, it kind of, you know, my heart kind of fell, because I thought, I really like this place.
Yeah.
And I said, why not? My one sister said, because everybody's blind. I went, well, duh. And I just, that just, they're even now. I said, what do you think I am? They said, yeah, but we don't look as you as, at you as being blind. You're just getting old.
Oh.
Yeah, sister we love.
Well, what you should do is tell them you're a recycled teenager.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and you, the thing of it is, it's because they feel comfortable with you. They've been around you all of their life and whatever. That's why. But, I know people in my family that are the same way. They feel real comfortable with me, but then they don't, how do I treat this? Well, good grief, this is a person. You treat them, you introduce yourself, whatever, and you talk to them. Every person is different. Every person is an individual. And blindness is just one of the things that we are, just one of our characteristics.
Well, they made sure that my life insurance policies were all paid up to date.
Well, you never know.
Mike is going to teach me to use a drill and
why not? If you're going
to. I think there isn't a blind person in the world that hasn't had, well-intentioned friends or well-intentioned relatives that, think things like that. That's just part of the norm, and it's part of our job to teach them how it really is. So, all right. Any other questions or comments from the public?
Madam Chairman, this is Fatosh. Uh-huh. I would like two Jeffs, the new Jeff and JR, to stay, guys, and the rest will help out with the food so you can hear the commission meeting and learn from it, okay? We have, I think, plenty of help, too. Oh.
And then there'll be a pop quiz afterwards, guys.
I don't think I'd pass it, so.
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, I think next on the schedule we have a 10-minute break. Is there anybody that needs to take a break or wants to take a break?
This is Pearl. I need 5 minutes.
I need some time, too. Yeah.
All right. We will take. Everybody gets back, we'll.
I think I remember.
Or else I'll take my cup.
You don't mind.
Oh,
I'm only kidding.
That's terrible.
I guess practical, but.
Well, that's one of the beauties about being a guy.
It needs to be reset. I need to get a pencil.
Oh, yeah, Nebraska got beat for a day.
You need an extension cord.
I missed the last.
If it's not going to work now.